Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. It's such a blessing to see this big crowd of women here to study the Word of God together. Let's pray together. Our Father, we ask you this morning to speak very personally to us in our lives as we study around tables together this morning, as we open up your Word, as we think about our spiritual lives, and as we think about how to grow. I pray you would impress upon us the truths that we're studying, and I pray, Father, that you would speak very personally to us. We pray for every home represented in our midst today. We pray, Father, for you to bring great growth in our lives, that we might be influencers in our world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we are studying this book, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. The writer of this book is a seminary professor at Southern Theological Baptist Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. And as I'm studying, especially last week's lesson, when he gave us 17 different ways to meditate on the Word of God, I feel like we're in a seminary class. And he does teach this in seminary, which I'm sure is a very needful course for pastors and for people in ministry. And so we are just tagging along, and I hope last week's lesson didn't overwhelm you because of all those ways. I just said, just pick one. Pick one and a half. Just do something there. Let some suggestion come and land in your heart. So this morning we're going to be finishing up on one discipline, and then I'm going to introduce to you the next discipline that I'm so excited to teach you about. Now, we're studying meditation. And on Sunday nights, our pastor, Brother Greg, is leading this study, Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at Your Table. And it has been so rich. How many of you are taking this on Sunday nights? Aren't you loving this? It is so good. And last week's lesson, in that lesson, he's talking about how to have spiritual victory. And one thing he said, and it just hit me that this is perfect for meditation, which is what we had just studied in Sunday school that morning. And he's talking about how the battle for victory is in your mind. And you have to learn to think biblically. And so he suggested a verse for every day of the week and a confession that you make. Monday is, my God knows my name. And he goes to Isaiah 43:1. Tuesday, you do another verse. My God goes before me. These are just scriptural truths. And, you know, memorization is one of the ways to get into the Word, to have Bible intake. And so I think these verses would hit two categories in what we've been studying. I want to challenge you to memorize these seven verses and to think on them every day of the week. And so I just asked Dana in the office if she would make me cards for you that you could take and you could use in your daily time with the Lord. And I want you to make that confession. Think about it deeply. Just for example, God knows my name. That is a wonderful weapon to use against Satan, especially if you feel like I'm a nobody. I've made mistakes. I'm insignificant. But God knows my name. And I'm going to memorize this verse. Thus says the Lord your Creator, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. What a wonderful, rich verse that would be for you to memorize. So I'm challenging you to meditate on these verses and also to memorize them. Yes. Oh, goodness. Yep, that would be your Sunday school teacher. I'll have to get back to you on that. Okay. I tell you, I have no business teaching. Has anybody memorized our theme verse for our study? Comes out of 1 Timothy. I want you to work around your tables. You can talk to each other. See if you can fill in the blanks of our theme verse for this study. First Timothy, what, and what are the words? No cheating, no cheating. I'm catching cheating. Does anybody know? All right, I'm going to give you the first word. The first word is discipline. The first word is discipline. The second word is yourselves for discipline yourselves for what? Good. The purpose of godliness. All right, write it in the blanks. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Now, where is that found in 1 Timothy? Good. 1 Timothy 4:13. So write that on your handout. 1 Timothy 4:13. For what?
I tell you, I have no business. Look it up.
Yeah, Romans 8:18. By the way, the reference for Thursday is Romans 8:18. If you want to write it on there. Romans 8:18. All right. Now for the last 3 weeks, come back to me now. For the last 3 weeks, we've been studying our very first discipline. We said this one was the most important discipline, and that's why we took the longest time on it. We're not going to spend that much time on each one. But on this one, we took, this will be our third week. We're going to finish it up this morning. But what is the very first discipline?
Hearing.
Well, it's called Bible intake. So put that down, Bible intake. Now, there are five sub-disciplines that go under how do I get the Bible in? And there are five ways that we've been looking at. What was the first one?
Hearing.
Write that down. Hearing. What was the second one?
Reading.
Write that down. Number three would be studying. Studying the Word of God. What was number four? Memorizing. Good. And last week, we continued our study on the fifth one, which was meditation on the Word of God. And this is what we said. We said that meditation is like that tea bag that you put into the cup of hot water and you steep it. You steep it in the water, and the water absorbs all the flavor of the bag. And so that's what meditation is. It's steeping yourself in the Word of God, because what value is it if, okay, you're going to read your Bible and you sit down and you read one chapter, two chapters, three or more chapters of Scripture. Yes, check it off my list, and then I get up and I'm busy about my day, but I can't even recall one thing that I read as I'm going through my day. And when we come to the Word of God to take it in each day, yes, our busy day is ahead of us, but we don't want to rush. And I'm going to make this suggestion to you. It would be better for you to read less if you have to do that in order to meditate. Meditation has to go along with it. Now, as I'm studying this, it's really so simple. I don't want to make it harder than it is. We come to church. We hear the Word of God preached, right? That's hearing the Word. During the week, we hear it through many other ways. Then we come every day to our time, and we're reading God's Word, and maybe you have a plan that you're using to read through the Bible. And then we come to Sunday school or Bible studies during the week, or we study on our own. And during that time of study, we go deeper into the Word, and then along the way, we're picking out verses to memorize. But we go back to our Bible reading, because that is where meditation is going to happen. You've got to, during the course of your Bible reading, your personal Bible reading, that's where you allow God's Word to really, really get into your heart, for you to think about it. Maybe you pull out a phrase that you're reading that day. Maybe you pull out one verse. Maybe it's a paragraph. Maybe it's just a whole chapter. But it's not really that hard. I mean, you're reading and you're letting the Holy Spirit point out something to you as you read. And then meditation is you just taking time to let that sink in to your life. It's like you're lingering over it. You're steeping in it, like we talked about. And when you do that, you take that with you for the rest of the day. And you think about it during the day. You can ask yourself, now what was I reading this morning? Let me think about that. And this leads you to be a doer of the word. Now let's write it this way on our handout. Meditation should ultimately lead to application. And that's what I want us to talk about this morning as we finish up talking about the discipline of meditation. Remember when we looked last week at the scripture out of Joshua chapter 1, I believe it was, where God said, now Joshua, I want you to meditate on the law, and I want you to do it day and night. And then Joshua, I want you to be very careful in your life that you do everything according to what you have read. And then Joshua, I'm going to cause all of your ways to be blessed and to be successful. It's just not that I'm going to meditate for nothing. I'm going to meditate in order that it's going to lead to obedience. I'm going to live a careful life. And then that is going to result in God's blessing and success in my life. And so as you come to the Word of God each day, you're going to do reading, you're going to meditate, you're going to study. And when you come to the Word of God, open the Word expectantly. You are meeting God there. He is going to speak to you. And so as I come to the Word of God, I'm like, I can't wait to see what you're going to say to me today. I'm looking for a word from you. And I'm going to believe that what I'm reading is intended just for me. And so as we read Scripture and as we meditate on it, I like this analogy. You young ones won't remember this. But when I was a little girl, when I woke up in the morning, my mom had gotten up. She had already put the percolator coffee pot on. Who remembers a percolator coffee pot? And they would fix the coffee pot at night. In the morning, they would plug it in, turn it on, and it would percolate the coffee. You could hear it. And the smell of that coffee would fill the house. Everybody remembers that. And so that's what we've got to do. We've got to let God's Word percolate in our brains as we meditate on it. And that causes us to have insights. That causes our hearts to become warmed by the meditation in God's Word, by the percolating of God's Word. And the Word of God becomes melted in my life, and it changes me into a passionate, action-taking woman where I'm walking according to what I've meditated on. And what I'm just saying is, I'm not meditating just for nothing. I'm meditating because there is a goal in the meditation. And it's that I'll be careful. Now look at Psalm 119:15, and the psalmist puts it this way. He says, I will meditate on your precepts, O God. I will fix my eyes on your ways. And there we understand that it was through meditation on God's word that the psalmist understood exactly how he was to walk, to be a doer of the Word of God. Now, for sure, as you do this, there are going to be times when you're in the Word of God, and if we had time to talk about this, you could tell me. You've sat down, and a verse will just leap off the page at you. And it's like God has got your name and he's got a word for you that day, and that's so exciting. It's just like God takes you by the shoulders and he says, this is what I want you to do. Has that ever happened to any of you? Well, that happens sometimes, and that is really fun when that happens. But probably more often, you're going to have to do what he calls interview the verse. You're going to have to interview the verse. What do I mean by that? Well, you're reading your Bible reading, and you have to patiently ask questions of the scripture until a down-to-earth application becomes clear for you. What kind of questions am I talking about? Well, I'm reading this text. Does this text show me something I should believe about God? Does this text show me something I should thank God for? Does it show me something I should trust God for? Does it show me something that I should pray for myself or pray for others? Or does it show me something I need to make a decision about? Does it show me something that I need to do? That's what I mean by interviewing a text. I'm handling it. I'm asking questions of it. So let's write it on our handout this way. Our time in the Word requires us to give it a response. To give it a response. Well, what kind of response am I talking about? Well, you know what? It might just lead me to worship God. Has the Word of God just ever led you to worship? When you're in it and you just get in it and you just think about how good God is, and I want to worship Him and I want to praise Him and I'm thankful in my heart, it may lead you to forgiveness. Forgiving someone else, forgiving yourself. It may lead you to speaking a word of encouragement to someone. It may lead you to forsaking a sin or showing an act of love or thinking in a different way about God or thinking in a different way about yourself or about others. There are a million responses that can come as you're in God's Word. I find with myself, I like to do this with a notebook. Because I forget. And I'll write down my responses. Or I'll write down my thoughts. Or I'll write down my impressions. I just like to write as I read. So will you cultivate, this is the question now, the discipline of meditating on God's Word? That is what I want to ask you this morning. We've looked at it. This is our third week. And the truth is, when you consider what the scriptures say about meditation, and when you weigh the testimonies of some of the godliest men in their biographies, and some of the godliest men in the Bible, their stories, and when I understand the importance and the value that meditation has meant in their life, and the growth that came as a result of it, I'm asking us this morning, will we be willing to discipline ourselves in the area of meditation on God's Word? And why am I going to do it, Teresa? I'm going to discipline myself for the purpose of what? Of godliness. See, I want to be like Jesus. And I want to be like Jesus, but it's not going to come to me without me having my part too. There's something I do. As I grow, Bible intake. What's it going to include, Teresa? Well, it's going to include me hearing the Word of God. Well, you know what that means? I'm going to have to come to church. I'm going to have to hook in to where the Word of God is being taught. I'm going to have to develop that habit. And I tell people all the time, if you'll just come to Sunday school for 6 straight weeks, it'll be a habit with you. Because anything you do for 6 weeks becomes a habit. What a wonderful habit to develop. To come, hear the Word of God, come to Sunday school, study the Word of God, in your homes every day, reading the Word of God, and as you're doing it, you're picking out verses. I just gave you 7 verses to memorize, and then also I'm going to take time as I'm reading, at the end of my reading, and I'm going to meditate. I'm going to focus on something I read, and I'm going to do it because I want to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer, not just a reader, not just a studier. I want transformation. I want to be like Jesus. I don't have much time left. I'm getting old. And I want to be serious-minded about becoming a kingdom woman living on mission for God. And so I'm looking for application, and I'm taking it in. And then ask, what demand is this making on my life? What is the Word of God calling me to do? So our first discipline, Bible intake. Let's move to the second one. I really hate to leave this one. Some of you weren't here for lesson 2 and 3 and 4. So I want to reteach it to you because it's so important. Everything happens with the Word of God. It is the key. It is the key. Let's move to our next one. Now, we're going to see that Bible discipline number one goes hand in hand with with our spiritual discipline number two. So write it down, and it's prayer. It is prayer, and prayer is so important. And today, I'm just going to introduce this to you, and then next week, we're going to pick it up. Now, I am so personally indebted to Donald Whitney in the area of prayer. After I got this book and I got into it, Carrie was into this book and she was enjoying it so much, she just got online. She said, I want to see what other books he's written. And he had written this little bitty small book on prayer. Now, I'm going to have that book available next week if anybody would like to purchase it. And she said, I just ordered it. And then she gave it to me. She said, oh, Miss Trish, you've got to read this book. And I said, oh, I can't wait. So I sat down and read that book. It transformed my prayer life. Very simple ideas on praying, and it's just made a huge difference. I'm going to be sharing those things with you next week, so don't miss. But for today, I want to introduce and kind of lay a groundwork for this subject, this discipline of prayer. Now, think in your mind on a scale of 1 to 10 with your prayer life, just mentally in your mind. Where are you on the scale? 1 would be, I don't pray very much. 10 would be, oh, I pray all the time. Where are you on that scale, on that spectrum? And then this question. Are you satisfied with your prayer life? Do you want to be more? I mean, we all know prayer is so powerful and prayer is so important. Do you want to be more of a prayer warrior? I know I do, because I do know prayer is so very powerful. And so I'm really excited about us studying this together because, you know, let's consider this. God is not withholding his voice from us because he's spoken loud and clear to us and powerfully to us through his Son and through his Word. We've got those two powerful resources. And as you and I are in the Word day by day, as we're hearing it preached, as we are hearing the very words of God, not only has he spoken, but also he has ears that are continuously open to us. He hears every prayer. And that's why prayer is second only to the intake of the Word of God. Let's hear what Jesus thinks about prayer. Because I'm going to tell you, Jesus expects his children to pray. Look on your handout, and I'm going to Matthew first in 6, and in verse 5 he says, and when you pray. Verse 6 says, but when you pray. Verse 7 says, and when you pray. And verse 9 says, pray then like this. And then go to Luke 11, and he says there, and I tell you, ask, seek, knock. And then Luke 18, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray. Now, those are the words of Jesus. Let me add a few more New Testament verses. Go to Colossians 4. Verse 2 says, continue steadfastly in prayer. Other versions of that verse say, be devoted to prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says this, you need to pray without ceasing. Now, this is reminding us that prayer, it's just more than an activity. I'm not going to develop this discipline just so I can be good at disciplines. No, it's a relationship. It's all about relationship. Well, how in the world am I going to pray without ceasing, Teresa? Am I just going to live in my closet all day long on my knees? I mean, is that what God is expecting of me? Well, you might think of praying without ceasing as communicating with God on one line, and then you put him on hold to answer a lot of other lines, but you know what? He's always online. He's always there, available, and ready for you to return to get his attention. Praying without ceasing just means you never really stop conversing with God. You just have a lot of frequent interruptions in your day. And I think, I like thinking of it, and I read this one time, this little book called Practicing the Presence of God. It's just including God in your life the whole day long. You're aware of his presence with you. You just have this connection the whole day long. Write this on your handout. These two verses that we just looked at out of the New Testament together. These verses are commands. They're commands given to us. They're not suggestions. They're really commands to the Christian woman. And in every season, God expects every Christian to be devoted to prayer and to pray without ceasing. Well, Teresa, I don't like that word, command. That word just sounds harsh. It sounds daunting. So I want to say, instead of us saying they're commands, I want to say this. They're royal invitations from the very King of the universe. You have a royal invitation to pray with God. I like that thought better. Look at Hebrews 4:16 on your handout. And there the writer says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's not just that I have to pray. God expects that of me. It's a strong command. No, I get to pray. I don't want to be a prayer pessimist. I just don't have time, Teresa. My life is so busy. I think about Joshua leading 2 million people into the land, the promised land. I think he was pretty busy, wouldn't you say? And yet God said, now you meditate day and night. Don't get your mind off of my law. It's going to lead you. It's going to cause you to have success. Prayer is a privilege. So write that down. Prayer is a privilege. Ladies, we have the privilege of communing with God Almighty. It's not just some obligation I have. It's not just some duty given to me that I have to fulfill. Oh, no. It's my privilege. I have that royal invitation. It's my opportunity to go to him, to receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. And I don't know about you, but I am living in desperately needy days, aren't you? I mean, Bill's in Jackson frequently. He's up there for meetings and all kinds of things. And he's just through the years, we've developed the habit of he's in Jackson, he'll call me while he's there. And he'll just call me when he's between meetings or whatever. And I want to hear from him. He doesn't call me, I'm surprised. Well, Bill didn't call me. But he'll just kind of check in during the day. He's wanting to check on my day, and I'm checking on his day. How was his meeting? Did he get to have lunch with any grandchildren? Because he usually tries to. How are they doing? How are the grandchildren doing? Give me the latest. God has that same kind of expectation with us, because prayer is a relationship. And it's a relationship of love. He's desiring me to communicate with him, and he's desiring to communicate with me. And I love that. Now write this on your handout. This is especially helpful when a trial comes. And could we talk about this, because you know, either you're coming into a trial, you're in a trial, or you're going out of a trial. That's just what life looks like. But when the battle gets really hot in our lives, oh my goodness, that's when prayer becomes really. Have you ever noticed when you're in the trial, you pray a lot more? You really do. It's kind of like our walkie-talkie in warfare with the commander. We've got to access his spiritual resources for victory, and we got to stay in close communication. So it's really helpful in a trial. Write this down. It's also a gospel expectation. A gospel expectation. Now, what do I mean by that? Now, I don't know about you, but I have 5 children, and I expect them to communicate with me. I really do. I mean, we do it all the time. And even when they were babies and they couldn't talk, oh boy, they could communicate. They got my attention. They cried, and I went and took care of them. Likewise, God expects his children to communicate, because we've been given eternal life. We've been adopted into his family, and the Holy Spirit lives within us. And look what that Holy Spirit does. 2 places I want to show you. Romans 8:15 tells us, "You have received the Spirit," that's the Holy Spirit, "of adoption, as sons, as daughters, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." That word Abba in the Greek is the word daddy. Very personal name. And then Paul said it again in Galatians 4:6. Look at it there. "And because you are sons and daughters, God has sent the Holy Spirit of his Son into our hearts." And what does that Spirit cry? It cries, Abba, Daddy, Father. He's impelling us. He's in our hearts. And he's yearning that communication with the Heavenly Father. Now, think about this fact that we know. Jesus prayed, didn't he? So write it on your hand out this way. That's not what I want you to write. Write this. Prayer was... what's my word? Mediated? Modeled. That's the word. I can't read my writing. Prayer was modeled by Jesus. So write that down. It was modeled for us by Jesus. Many times in Scripture, it would say, and Jesus withdrew to a lonely place, to a desolate place, in order to pray. Now think about it. If Jesus, the Son of God, as he was walking on earth, needed to pray, how much more do you and I need to pray? Prayer is expected of us because we need it. Well, Teresa, why don't we pray more? Why don't we pray more? Well, sometimes the problem is this. It's just a lack of discipline. So write that on your handout. We don't discipline ourselves. We know we should. We want to. But our lives are out of control, and we don't discipline ourselves. I mean, we just don't ever plan it into our busy, busy lives. Oh, we tell people all the time, oh, yes, I'm so sorry. I'll pray for you. But then when I get home, do I really pray for them? Do I really get along with God and I say, oh, God, my friend is in a trial. They're in a hard place. I want to lift them up to you. I want to pray for them. The reality is that prayer is just so easily crowded out in our lives by things that come that scream urgent to us. And then another reason we don't pray, maybe we don't have any confidence that our prayers would ever even make a difference. Now, this is something we don't admit to each other, because, I mean, I know so-and-so can pray, and it seems like her prayers are always answered, but I don't have any confidence in my own life that my prayer ever makes a difference. Because prayer is a very spiritual thing. It's somewhat mysterious. And we have promises in the Word of God where God says, I will hear you. I will answer you. But the truth is, many prayers are answered in ways that cannot be seen in the material realm. Many prayers are answered in ways different from what we are asking. We don't always see tangible evidence. And so that can cause us to doubt the power of God through prayer. Here's another reason. Maybe you don't sense the nearness of God in your life, in your own life. And this can cause you to be discouraged in prayer. You see, there's times when I feel very close to God and I feel very intimate with God and I'm sensing the presence of God in my life. And other times, I don't feel it. And the truth is, I can't live on feelings. I've got to live on the Word of God and what it says as absolute truth. But nevertheless, the frailty of our emotions many times will keep me from praying. And so because our desire to pray is weakened, we tend to do and find other things to do instead of prayer. Then come those circumstances just out of the blue that just drive us to drop to our knees in prayer. But then there are periods of time in our lives that just seem like quite, you know, I got everything under control. We're doing good here. And so a lot of times we don't pray because we're self-sufficient. So write that on your handout. I mean, we're just not that needy. Things are going really good in our life. The kids are doing good. I'm doing good. Husband's doing good. Everything's kind of going good. And I'm just in control. And we forget the words of Jesus. What now? Self-sufficiency. Self-sufficiency. We forget what Jesus says in John 15:5. Look at it. Apart from me, what can you do? Nothing. Even in the good times, apart from him, we can do nothing. And so I don't want to live my life in pride, in self-sufficiency. Do I? I don't. And so we need to see the danger in that kind of attitude. God's expectation for us is to pray. Sometimes, do I have another one down there? And I forget, let's see. Because they have never, that's not what I want to say. Yeah, I'm not there yet. Here's what I want to say, if you're self-sufficient. It's just sometimes I have a real dim awareness of exactly how great God is. I kind of have a more of a focus on how great I am. And when I get into the I'm doing good phase of life, I forget how awesome God is and how great God is. I don't consider his person. I don't consider his attributes, his power, his glory, his magnificence, his kingdom. See, he's the king of glory. I'm not the king of glory. But sometimes I feel like I am. And that's going to make me have a small prayer life. And a lot of times we think too little of the glorious gospel. We think, oh, I'm so, aren't you proud of me for choosing you, God? You know what? You didn't choose God. God chose you. He rescued you. He delivered you. And the very saving work of Christ and the fact that you got miraculously rescued from death and destruction, it should drive you to this note. You've accomplished nothing on your own. It's all of him. And it should cause us to go to him and rejoice in him for his grace and his mercies. And I need these truths just to occupy my mind. But when I'm glorying in myself and my own sufficiency, it will affect my prayer life. But when I think about him, he spoke the galaxies into being. That's how great he is. Just with a word. And when I think of what Christ saved me from, oh my goodness, it makes me so happy. When I think about the shame he endured on my behalf, when I remember what my salvation really means, prayer becomes easy. Prayer becomes easy. Here's the last reason that I want you to put on your handout. A lot of people don't pray because they've never learned to pray. They've never learned to pray. And sometimes we can get discouraged by this command to pray because I don't really have effective skills. But I want to encourage you this morning that prayer is something we can learn to do. Don't miss next week's lesson. And it's going to have to be a short Sunday school lesson because we're having our great day here. But I'm going to give it to you next week. This should give you hope this morning. Teresa, I'm just not a good prayer warrior. Well, you know what? You can learn to be. Does that give you hope? Teresa, my prayer life is weak. Well, you know what? It can be stronger. Think about a baby. At first, that baby's just a crier, and that's very minimal communication, but soon that baby starts saying words, and that baby learns to talk. We're just like that baby spiritually. Don't get so down on yourself if you're not some great spiritual prayer warrior yet. The potential is there, and so we gradually learn to talk and to pray. I love what the disciples said in Luke 11:1, and they said it in Matthew 6. Lord, teach us to pray. And so we learn by praying. I think about Emily Grace learning a foreign language. She can speak Spanish fluently now. And so she studied it in college, and then she, on the summer, her major requires her to go abroad. And be in an environment where she has to speak it all the time. And when she got in that environment, she can speak it fluently. And so, you know, let that encourage you. You can be fluent in prayer language. You really can. You've just got to learn it. And so we learn by praying. So put that on your handout. We learn by praying. So you say, okay, I'm just going to start. I know I may be awkward at first, but I'm going to learn by doing. I'm going to set my heart to be a prayer warrior. And then put this down. We've got to finish. The Holy Spirit teaches praying people how to pray better. Look at John 16:13. And let this encourage you. It says this. When the Spirit of truth comes. Now, who is that Spirit of truth? He's the Holy Spirit. When he comes, he's going to be our guide. He's going to guide us into all truth. And that's what he'll do in our praying. In our praying. And so I want to say this as we close, and I want you to write it on your handout, that I think meditation is the missing link between Bible intake and prayer. Now, here's what I want to say to you this morning. It's so easy. I'm involved and I'm hearing the word. I'm coming to Sunday school and I'm studying the word, or I'm going to a Bible study, or I'm doing something else. I personally like Sunday school the best because I'm the teacher. And then I'm reading the word. I'm going to do it every day. Now that's going to take discipline in your life. For you to get in the word of God every day in a plan, some plan, where it's a chapter, it's two chapters, or it's three chapters. But I'm going through the Word of God every day. And while I'm there, I'm not just going to read it, get it up, check my list. No, I'm reading for the purpose of godliness. That's why I'm doing it. So I'm going to sit there a minute. And I'm going to expect God to speak to me through His living Word. And He's going to show me. I'm going to meditate on a verse, on a phrase, on a paragraph. And I'm going to get application out of that. And then guess what I'm going to do? This is what we do. Look, we close our Bible, we put it on the shelf, and then we say, and now I'm going to pray. And then when I do that, my mind starts wandering. Do you have this trouble? You know, you try to, and your day is telling you you're busy and you need to hurry. This is what I want to say. Meditation is the missing link between Bible intake and prayer. So instead of closing my Bible, then after I've meditated on the Word, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray the Word. I'm going to pray and direct my prayer as I'm reading the Word. I'm going to let the Spirit, you know, while I'm praying that, something comes to my mind about a child. Something comes to my mind about another situation. And I just pray that Word, and I let the Word of God instruct my prayer. Now, this is what I'm going to develop next week a little more that I don't want you to miss. It's so good. But it's actually very simple. And all the while, I'm disciplining myself to be more like Jesus. And I can do that in 15 minutes, in 30 minutes, in an hour, just depending on how much time you have to give to it. You know, well, Teresa, I don't have long. That's fine. Give it 15 minutes. 5 minutes in reading, 5 minutes in meditation, and 5 minutes in prayer. That's a start. But don't miss what I said. Meditation is the missing link between Bible intake and prayer. I'm going to let the Bible instruct my praying. And that is going to open up amazing new depths for your prayer life. And I'm so excited to share it with you next week. Let's pray. I've kept you too long. Our Father, thank you for this time this morning. We bless your name. We bless your holy name. And Father, we ask you to help us, God, through the power of your Spirit, to discipline ourselves for the purpose of being kingdom women who are passionately following after Jesus. And we pray this in his precious name. Amen. All right, I'll see you next week.